You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. The stock market's upward surge is set to extend into today. I'm David Brancaccio. Stocks roared skyward yesterday, and major indexes in Asia closed significantly higher today, especially Hong Kong, which rose nearly 8% after China announced some loosening of COVID restrictions. Here in the U.S., Wall Street is poised for more gains after that hint of good news about inflation yesterday. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
China's government today shortened quarantine times from 7 to 5 days and relaxed some travel rules, raising the prospect that the Chinese economy may do better than previously thought as COVID curbs become less disruptive. On top of that, yesterday's consumer price index report in the U.S. showed meaningful declines in both annual and monthly inflation and raised the prospect that the Fed may slow interest rate hikes fairly soon. This was enough to send investors piling back into stocks, including riskier bets such as big tech stocks. Apple, Microsoft, and Alphabet yesterday soared between 7.5% to 9%. But really, every U.S. sector saw gains: retailers, banks, utilities, even real estate, where stocks rose nearly 8%. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
So let's do the numbers. To review, yesterday the NASDAQ closed up 7.4%. The Dow closed up 1,201 points, 3.7%. S&P went up 5.5% to its highest level since early September. And the bond market surged as well, with the 10-year interest rate down at 3.82% this morning. Today, so far, Dow and S&P futures are up another 0.5%. You may have caught our reporting last month on money, politics, and whether campaign donors can be Secret Santas who spend big, but voters never know it's them. It took 4 tries over the years to get a disclosure law before Arizona voters, but it was on the ballot this week. We can now tell you it passed easily, with more than 75% saying yes. Former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard led that effort. He says it's a moment of unity in a polarized state.
We're about as divided as you can be, just right down the line, 50-50. But when 3/4 of the voters, 75%, say that they want transparency in election financing, that's not a partisan statement. That's very comprehensive in terms of political thought.
Other states that passed initiatives to curb so-called dark money have faced legal challenges.
I'm anticipating that the folks who've made their bread and butter off of raising dark money and spending it are not going to go down quietly. I feel that we've got the overwhelming high ground in terms of constitutional issues. The Supreme Court has constantly said that political speech, in other words, who is funding a political campaign, who is making contributions, you can't hide those names.
A federal judge this summer rejected a challenge to a similar disclosure law in Alaska that had been based on a free speech argument that people and companies that go public with their donations might be reluctant to speak with their money for fear of facing a public backlash. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Economic policy in a new Congress. Yesterday, we talked to an expert at the Conservative American Enterprise Institute. Today, a voice aligned with Democrats. Felicia Wong is CEO of Roosevelt Forward, which is a sister organization of the Roosevelt Institute in New York. Thanks for doing this.
Hi, David.
One way or another, it appears power will be divided in Washington. Does nothing get done in terms of economic policy for the next 2 years?
A lot is going to get done in economic policy over the next few years, in part because there's so much to do to implement all of the legislation that's already been passed. There remains a lot of runway to both make sure that money gets out to communities and serves real people, and frankly, David, a lot of work to make sure that politicians, elected officials, know how to talk about that and explain that to voters.
I was, frankly, a little surprised to see some Republicans speaking out loud prior to Election Day, talking about cuts to Social Security or implying them. I thought, look, I'm no political expert, but seems risky.
Yeah, it's, I think, kind of out of touch politics, which is why you did not see the kind of red tsunami that many in the media had predicted, because I think a lot of what the Republicans actually had to offer on inflation, on people's pocketbook issues, the Republicans actually didn't have a lot to say that was affirmative, and I think the American people noticed.
But that said, I saw several polls before the election talking about a 13-point margin of voters believing the GOP would do a better job dealing with inflation. CBS YouGov had something not quite that margin, but something like 9%. I mean, the Democrats aren't making their case either.
Well, that's very true. And there is a lot that Democrats need to do. But when you look at the exit polls, what you'll see is that the two top issues for voters were abortion and inflation. Ultimately, what I think that shows is that many voters who said that inflation and the economy and job creation were their top issues still ended up voting for Democrats. And I do think that is in part because Democrats actually have a plan and actions on the economy. And I further think that that is because the Democrats actually had a track record to run on. In part, that was because the Democrats really demonstrated, especially with the American Rescue Plan of 2020, that they knew how to create jobs and how to keep Americans at least in the game with respect to their own household economics, even in the face of that COVID recession.
Felicia Wong, today representing Roosevelt Forward, a sister organization of the Roosevelt Institute, is also co-host of the new podcast, How to Save a Country. Felicia, thank you.
Always a pleasure, David.
And federal regulators are concerned about the exodus of top executives from the Elon Musk version of Twitter. Now it's the chief information security officer at Twitter who's going. And in an all-staff meeting yesterday, Musk said there's a chance he puts Twitter into bankruptcy protection. Twitter was delisted from the New York Stock Exchange this week since all the shares are in the hands of Musk's company now. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.